Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Straight up in my face.
So put it in your face, Anthony. Put it in your face.
It's in fine. My face because my voice is really weak. I'm just so sorry.
No, you sound great. I could hear you. And if you're recording your side, you're fabulous. So no worries.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. God, you're so nice. I should have talked to you before. I have such a much better ego.
I'm the best hype man ever.
Yes, thank you. I was looking for that word. There you go.
No, that was fun. That was really fun. I'm not really good with like Brandy has like the biggest, I feel like, encyclopedia of knowledge of things that people don't know. So I'm not mad that she won. I give it to her and I applaud you.
Okay. Congratulations.
Well, thanks.
Thank you, Anne.
She is a writer.
I'm curtsying give her that. Right now.
She's curtsying right now. Well, that's awesome. And I'm really happy that we are all here today because today we have a guest with us. And we're just going to let our guests go ahead and introduce themselves if they'd like. Guest?
I still don't know if I should say my name in English or in French.
Can we get a mixture?
Okay. Well, Anthony, that's my first name. My last name is called Langlois. It means language and law. It's because I'm a descendant of a musketeer, of a family of musketeers, which were mandated to protect language, faith, and law. And with time, it became the credo of the family, language and law, and it became the name, Langlois. Even the French people have a hard time pronouncing that name. So there it is. My name is Anthony Langlois. The reason I'm called Anthony, that's another story completely. I don't think you have time for that. You're not interested at all. Hi.
I'm not interested, but I am interested in like the shield of your family, like
your family
language
crest
and law. Oh my God! Like I am honored to be.
Wait, hold on, Did you say that on the top of your mind, or did you know that we have a shield? Because we do have a shield.
No, I didn't know that, but I know you sound very prestigious. That you must have a family shield.
Yeah, well, the family is really large. Honestly, there is a lot of Langlois all over, even in the U.S. There's a lot of them. Some changed their name to Langley. Some just became Lang. But the family is really large all throughout North America, and it is an organization, if I should say so, because we do have an organization of the Langlois family of North America. That's how it's called, and we have a shield. It's a baby blue sky with a sun and the rays, kind of like the Japanese flag, but blue and yellow instead of red and white. That's our shield.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
And Anthony,
yes.
We've got your name. What else should people know about you?
French Canadian, born and raised. The whitest white boy you'll ever meet. Not that I'm racist. It's just that
it's just that you're white. It's fine. We get it.
No. It's that I grew up in the middle of nowhere. Literally, we grew up in the forest outside of town, like 15 minutes outside of a small town, a small dairy town. And I was, I think, 15 the first time that I met a black person.
Oh, okay.
And he was the only black person in town also. So, I really don't know anything about your culture because I've never met a lot of black people. Like, even now, I still stay in a small town and I work from home. Even before the pandemic, I've been working from home for a number of years. And I know that there are people from other culture working in my company, but I've never met them. So, I'm honestly not racist at all. I am open to discovering, but
I don't think you're racist.
Well, with everything that's been
happening. Otherwise, we wouldn't be talking to you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
But everything that's been, that's been happening in the last year, I did get some comments. People are saying, why aren't you speaking out? You know, if you support us, why aren't you saying something? And I feel that my place is not to talk because I don't know anything about your struggles and about your culture and about everything you have to go through. My place is to listen and to learn. So I shouldn't be the one talking in your place. I don't know what you go through. I don't know the lives that you've had. So I need to listen to these things and not talk about it. So
it's not your fight. No, you're definitely right. And I didn't expect someone to carry the torch for me. So I don't know who it is that's like, hey, Anthony, why aren't you fighting for us? So, I mean, whoever that is, they're interesting. Everybody has their own story. Everybody has their own battle. And like you said, it's important to listen and to learn and to observe before you feel that you need to act or do anything. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like you've been like such a great friend.
Oh, thank you.
Even though like we've never met, but I feel like we've had this relationship for quite some time. And I feel your friendship. I feel your love. I feel your appreciation and support. So if someone else is like, hey, they can just, you know, go somewhere.
No, it's the thing is, it's not black people saying that. That's the thing. It's other people, sometimes white people saying that. And just,
yeah.
I don't know. I think they should shut up. I think we white people should all shut up for a minute and listen. That's the thing that people don't do. And here, white people, we don't really have the power to listen to others. And we should just shut up and listen. But
a lot of people don't like to listen. They just want to talk.
They like to hear themselves talk.
There it is. And I think it's everybody. It's not just, you know, a blue person, a white person, a black person. It is all people are selfish to a certain extent. And you need to be silent and you need to listen and you need to just listen to our podcast.
Yeah, I have a trick for that for people who just like to talk. I'm not much of a talker myself. It doesn't show like that, but I'm really a bit of an introvert. So people usually take that as an invitation to talk to you nonstop, to just talk and talk and talk. So I have a lazy eye. So when somebody who bores me to death stops talking, I watch them and then my eye just goes sideways. And the person will just stop and just wonder what the hell is happening. Is he seizing? What's going on? And then a person stops talking and I go, oh, well, that was interesting. Thank you. Bye. And it works. It really does work. Try that. If you have a lazy eye, try the trick. Just let your eye go completely. And mine really goes crazy. Sorry. I'm going to stop talking now.
You're crazy, Anthony. Okay. Well, we have a guest today, and we're going to go into our weeks just so we could hit. Brandy, you had your vaccination yesterday. How are you doing, girl?
So the first one, the doctor that gave me the shot, I didn't feel it at all. I didn't feel a thing. My arm did not hurt that night. It hurt the next day. And then the next day after that, it was fine. Yesterday, it was a different doctor, and I swear to God, like, I don't know what he did. But my arm immediately started hurting and I couldn't, like, it was affecting my sleep. My shoulder was hurting. It was like affecting my sleep. I couldn't sleep. I could not get comfortable. And then I woke up and I felt like I literally had the flu. My entire body was hurting, but my arm, my shoulder and my hand were hurting. I was like, what the hell is this? So finally I took some ibuprofen. And now I feel like I have a new body.
Yay!
Which vaccine did you get?
Moderna.
Oh, nice. I heard great things. Like it stops COVID. Okay, never mind.
Hey, I heard it stops COVID. I'm sorry, I cracked myself up.
No, I'm trying not to make anti-vaccine jokes. I'm an autism parent, so I get the question all the time, you know, why did you get your kids vaccinated? It doesn't cause autism. Just shut the fuck up about that. It does not cause autism, all right? Sorry, go ahead.
Let them know, Anthony. Sometimes they need to be reminded to shut the fuck up.
Right. Exactly my point. As I was saying, I am going through the same thing as maybe you do, but with autism, just You don't know what you're talking about. You saw a movie. Good for you. You don't raise two autistic kids. You don't know what it's like. So just don't tell me what I know much better than you. Stop and listen.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay. Just stop talking now.
Anthony, how was your week? How's it going?
I don't know what I should and should not say on your show. I don't know what's the threshold of thing I should not say. I've had some health issues. So this week I had to get a colonoscopy and it was not fun. So I didn't have a really nice week.
Did they do the twilight sleep or did they put you all the way under?
They didn't put me under. They just gave me some drugs, which I didn't really like. I'm not one for, I don't react well to substances. So that's why I don't drink at all. And I don't do drugs. It's not because it's bad for you. It's because I react badly to these things. And they gave me drugs to apparently calm me down, but it freaked me out more than anything.
So you were still conscious and.
Oh, yes, I was. I wasn't. And it's. It feels like bad diarrhea cramp going up instead of going down. I'm sorry to describe this in detail. I won't go any further than that, but it was not fun. And the thing is, you have to be on a liquid diet for 2 days before. And for the final 12 hours, you have to purge. So they gave
you this colite
product, exactly. Mm-hmm. That you have to drink 4 liters in like 3 hours, and it comes out. It really does come out, that stuff.
Is that why you look so thin? You look so good.
Okay, quick sidebar.
I think you've embarrassed him.
No. It's my second colonoscopy. The first time was 2 years ago. And the nurse who prepped me this time was the exact same nurse, and it took her a good 3 or 4 minutes to recognize me because I've lost 50 pounds
in between. Wow.
And the thing is, I didn't recognize her because she gained weight. So it was an awkward moment, and I'm really proud to say this. I'm really proud to say that I went from 225 pounds to 175. I'm really proud to say that because it wasn't easy at all, and I'm not the kind of person to just go out and work out. So, and I was under drugs. So I said it out loud. I'm 175 pounds and I'm really good. And the gentleman next to me was younger than me, was shorter than me, and weighed 286 pounds.
Hot damn.
So I didn't notice that. And he said his weight then to the nurse later because she asked, and he said it really, really low. I barely heard it and I felt bad, but I was on drugs. So sir, please forgive me. I was on drugs, but I am really, really proud. It's because of the health issues I've been having. I had to cut on dairies, on red meat, completely cut red meat. I can't eat fried foods. I can't eat stuff like ice cream, stuff like that. So most sugary stuff, I had to cut it out because it's bad for my intestines. So when there's nothing left to eat, you eat fruit and you eat, things that are good for you, apparently. And on top of that, I have a blood pressure issue. So I have to do 30 minutes of workout every day to keep my blood pressure down. And when I say issue, it goes up to 200. If you know anything about blood pressure, mine is always over 200. Apparently, that's not good because it should be around 130. Mine goes over 200. So I have to work out 30 minutes every day to keep my blood pressure around 160, 170. So the walking and the no eating, I've lost 50 pounds in just under a year.
Wow.
But thank you for noticing. Thank you. I'm so happy.
I see you, boo. You look good.
The thing is, though, I have to wear overalls now because everything falls off of me, and I'm not kidding. So I don't want to buy new clothes because I keep losing weight. So I want to wait until I'm done, until I've hit the floor, and then I'm going to rebuy clothes. But
how tall are you?
5'10".
5'10", 175. Yeah. I think you are good.
I think too, because I used to be 150 pounds and I was like a twig, and I don't want to go back to that. I'd like to stay at 175, 180. I'd like to stay there because, you know, people treat you differently when you're a little bit bigger. When you're a guy and you're bigger, people respect you a little bit more. When you're a twig, it's like, you're a pushover. People see you as a pushover. And it was fun for once in my life that people were not pushing me over.
Yeah.
I know if guys listen to this, I'm pretty sure they understand it. When you're a twig, you have to fight a little bit harder. When you're a bigger guy, you don't have to push your way through. People will just move aside.
Yeah, they see all the, your stature and your, you know.
Exactly.
Girth.
The G word.
All right. I'm sorry. I've been blabbing your ears for 30 minutes and we haven't touched the subject of the week yet.
Oh. Well, you said that you had some GI stuff going on, so I get it. And you told us about your weight loss and you look fabulous.
Thank you. You too, by the way. I can't see you anymore because you cut your camera, but you too.
Thanks.
So how was your week, Sunny?
It was good. I went to a party last night and it was really nice to be away from my children. I didn't have like a toddler running my life.
How was it? I wanted to go, but I freaking knew I was going to be feeling like crap.
Yeah. It was cracking, girl. Like, I drank too much.
Cracking, girl? You go.
Cracking. It was a good time. No, it was a lot of fun. It was just, you know, all of his family and stuff. So I was speaking a lot of Spanglish. And it was fun. And I stayed out late. I got home like at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm never doing that again.
Yeah.
And I was just really tired this morning. Mm-hmm. But before that, I regarding my week, I got offered a role as a head of sales for a animation production studio, and I accepted. And so I have like a meeting tomorrow with the team, and it's going to be pretty exciting.
Congratulations. You're in movies now.
Not yet, but yeah.
I should say again, you were in movies before, right?
Yeah, I was. I was right before the vid, you know, shut shit down.
Yeah.
I got laid off. But yeah, so it's circled back around, and I'm excited to see, you know, what's to become of this. And I, you know, I'm in the year of yes. Just say yes if you can. So,
nice.
It's been a good week. It's been a good week. And we've made it this far. And today, I am Sunny Hepburn.
Today, you're Sunny Hepburn.
Yep.
I'm Brandy Fleeks.
And we also have
Anthony Langlois.
And this is
Book of Lies.
Oh, quick sidebar. You said the vid. Here we say the Rona. Is the vid just a Sunny thing, or is it how you call it there?
I think Kevin Hart calls it the vid. I watched like his stand-up, and he was calling it the vid.
Okay.
So I just started calling it the vid.
All right. Here it's the Rona. So here you go. Well, no, sorry, you don't understand that. Rona is a chain of hardware store here in Quebec, in parts of Canada. So for us, it's hilarious to say the Rona.
Oh, yeah, I mean, they were calling it Rona. Some people still call it the COVID-19, which is weird as hell. Yeah. But,
coronavirus.
Coronavirus! It's not funny. It's really not funny at all.
You have to make the most of a bad situation, though. You have to find, I don't know, a silver lining, which is maybe laugh
really
at it.
You really do. You really do. And I think that's what I do. Like, I laugh when it's uncomfortable.
Coping mechanism, good.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Today we have brought a guest, as you guys have been listening already. You guys can connect with us if you want on social or meet our website at bookoflies podcast.com. Anthony, is your website after midnight?
podcastaftermidnight.wordpress.com.
You can find Anthony there. He has a fabulous podcast. I listen to it every week. 5 songs with the subject. It's friggin' awesome. I listened to your one when you had with the truck driver. And, like, you guys were talking about Fiona Apple and, like, the secret song. And I'm, like, singing it in my head. And Anthony has some great podcast content. So check that out for sure. But since Anthony is our guest, we let him pick the topic today.
Serial killers. I mean, it's a true crime podcast, right? That's the ironic thing. I'm really not into true crime, into all these things, murders. Everybody I know is just obsessed with those, and I'm really not. But I'm acquainted with 2 serial killers, which is a little bit weird. So should I start, yeah, or should I let you introduce?
No, you can go ahead and tell the folks here, guys. So it's going to get gritty today. We usually talk about fraud and lies, but today we're going serial killers.
We're going into the murders.
You're welcome. Welcome.
Yeah, well, there is a bit of lie, I think, in every serial killer. They present a facade that you don't suspect these people at all. You said you've looked up the guy and you saw his eyes and it gave you nightmares. For me, it was just, he looked like a cool janitor.
A cool janitor?
That's what he looked like to me, because I've known a lot of school janitors who looked like this guy. He was a handyman, but I'm getting ahead of myself. I went to a boarding school when I wasn't in high school. You guys called it junior high and high school. We called it secondary school. Mm-hmm. And the one I went to is called a juvenile. You go there to do a life in the church. Long story, another time. You should do an episode about the church, because there's a lot of lies there.
Oh, gosh.
Boy, howdy. Yes.
Thank you. Anyway, in my case, it was for different reasons, but it's the kind of school that you would go there for a whole month, would come out just once a month for one weekend. The rest of the time, you're at the school the whole time. You sleep there, week in, week out. You're always there. And you bond with people in a place like that. You're always, always, always stuck with the same people. And you create a lot of friendships that are sometimes stronger than your own family. And I was a bit of a loner. I was often bullied because I looked like a twig. So I made a friend named Sebastian, who was bullied a lot more than me, to the point where he would bring a knife at school. And that became his nickname. His nickname was Jack Knife. To me, he was just
Jack Knife.
Yeah, he was just Jack Knife. That was his nickname. But to me, he was a Star Trek nerd like me, and not really good in sports like me. So we would bond over a lot of things, but he was a guy who loved his cat. He had a cat, and it's the thing he loved the most in the world. You know, you can't suspect anything about that guy. And once we graduated, everybody parted ways, because it's the kind of school that everybody from everywhere would go there. But everybody then, when they leave, they go back to their own cities, and we just lose track. And I saw him once 2 years later at a bus stop. We spoke for like 30 minutes. It was really fun. He was telling me that he was doing a course as an electrician, and he had big projects to start his own business. And it was really, really cool. And that was it. That was the last time I spoke to him. And then 2 weeks later, I saw him on the news.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, Sebastian, I'm not comfortable talking about this. I'm going to do it really, really quickly. He wanted to know what it feels like to be a serial killer. So he put on army fatigues and a Jason Voorhees mask. He went in a bush in a public park early in the morning, waited until he found his perfect victim, a 5-year-old boy, and he murdered him.
No.
He got caught because there were people there who tackled him, and I called him a serial killer because that's what he wanted to be. That was his first planned murder. He had a collection of knives, and he told the court during his trial that he planned to do one murder per knife. And that's a guy I spent 5 years calling him almost my brother.
Oh, my God.
I never would have said this guy is a killer. Maybe I'm a poor judge of character, but I've had nightmares for a long time thinking did I do something that pushed him there? Am I the one who pushed him to do that? Am I the one who I don't know, is it because we parted ways and we didn't stay in touch? And you question yourself for a long time. He killed a 5-year-old child.
Yeah.
No, he was a sick person. No, I don't think anybody could. I don't think any person that came in my life could make me do what that person did. That's something that's going on in their head. That's a sickness that they have. And do not put that on yourself ever.
Well, that was a long time ago. I honestly, I hadn't thought about it until I told you guys I want to talk about serial killers. I really hadn't thought about it for a number of years. I know that he came out after, I think, 15 years. He was released, and he opened a bakery.
Oh, that's wow.
As much they let as him
I,
out?
They let him out. He met someone on the inside, one of those girls who do pen pals with prisoners.
Prisoners, yeah.
You know, I'm not judging. It's just, to me, that's a little bit weird. But anyway, he married her, and they opened the bakery together. Apparently, he's reformed, and he no longer has these murderous thoughts. And how do you
hopefully
kill...
Hopefully, he doesn't turn into Sweeney Todd.
Jesus Christ. Thank you for putting that on my mind. Thank you so much.
Into her pies.
I struggle with the thought. Should I go there? Should I, you know,
no,
talk to him,
Anthony,
and find out?
I just do it.
Probably don't not, because I have so much on my own. I have so much to lose that I don't want to enter that world and maybe get stuck in it. But you question yourself. I mean, 5 years spent day in and day out with that person. Part of me wants to know what the hell triggered him to do that. What was it? Was it a lifetime of sickness, as you say, or was just one thing that triggered a domino effect that let him down?
Well, he said he had how many knives?
I think it was eight.
Eight knives, and he wanted to commit one murder per knife. That's not somebody who just snaps. That's somebody who is like intent on committing these crimes, and they have it all planned out, and he just happened to get caught.
During the trial, the only time that he showed any kind of emotion or reaction was when they rolled out his collection of knives. He had a big smile.
He got happy. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He had a huge smile about that. And that smile freaks me out a lot. But, I stopped thinking about this and talking about it for a while. And, I met my partner, who lived in a different town. We moved together, and she was working at a convenience store. The kind of quick stop, like, you know, Kenneth Smith's quick stop. One is convenience store, and then in the back you have this video store. And she used to do the evening shift. She would do like 4 p.m. until midnight or something like that. And this dude, Bill, would always hang out there. He used to date the owner, and she found it a little bit creepy, and she dumped him. But to me, again, I'll say it again, he looked like a school janitor. He was a handyman. He did jobs here and there as a plumber and as a carpenter and this and that, and just looked sad. I thought, you know, the kind of person that you just want to give him a beer and $5 and just, I don't know.
No,
I know what you're saying.
I wanted to give anybody a beer and $5.
Yeah, I think I know what you're saying. Like, you feel compassion for him. Maybe he just looks like sad or in a bad way or whatever. I honestly feel that there's certain people who want to look that way, so you do feel compassion for them. Just hear me out. Just saying, like street people.
Yeah,
people who make it their job to look like that.
Yeah,
there's a woman here in town who goes door to door, and she says, "My daughter is in the hospital in Montreal. I need money for gas to go there. Please give me money for gas." She's been doing that for years. People talk about her on the internet, and she still does it. And she pulls it off. She still manages to get money from people just knocking on your door and saying, "Please help me. I need gas to go with my daughter." So I understand what you mean. Some people do that. But him, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. He just looked like the sad sap that you just... I don't know. Here's $5. Go to the bar there, the titty bar there, and get a lap dance or something. Just, you want to make him feel
better. $5 is not going to get him a lap dance.
I don't know. I never went. I was raised by really conservative parents. I never went into that kind of bar.
$5. Come on now. That'll barely get you a beer.
I'd like to know how you know that,
That's
though.
That's true.
Because I've been to the titty bar.
Did you? Fuck yeah. The killer. Let's talk about that.
Let's talk about that. Goodness gracious. Well, me and Brandy both went. We took our godbrother to the strip club when he turned 18.
Yeah, it was an 18 and over. 18 and over here are fully nude.
And no alcohol.
They don't serve alcohol. The 21 and over places are bikini bars. And they serve alcohol. So,
okay.
Yeah.
But if you want a lap dance to get to the champagne room, bare minimum, it's like $20. And it's like, bring more money, honey.
I thought you were going to say $100. Champagne, no. $100, damn it.
That's the private dance room. That's the quiet room where you and I can go ahead and get acquainted. Don't touch me. I can touch you. You can't touch me. That's the rules.
Okay. Nice segue, though. That was interesting. Thank you. Back to Bill. It's a little weird. I don't want to make accusation, but the guy's in prison anyway. But there was a break into the convenience store at night. And after that, we never saw Bill. Everybody kind of suspected that since he was hanging there all the time, somebody maybe let it slip what was the best way to go around the security system and where to break in. So we suspect that Bill broke in because all that was taken is cartons of cigarettes, and Bill was a big smoker.
He was just hanging out there for hours all
like
all
Jay
long?
And Silent Bob, just hanging in the front and just talking to people coming in and out, just really hanging out there, literally just hanging there, like Jason Mewes at the Quick Stop, just really.
Yeah.
Snooch to the nooch or whatever.
There
you go. Creepier than them, apparently.
Well, yeah, if you've seen his picture of Bill, then yeah, he was a little bit creepier. But, well, I don't know.
I saw his picture. He's really an interesting looking character.
Lots of people say that Jason Mewes was creepy as fuck when he was a kid. So I don't know. I'm
gonna anyway. Oh, are you saying that they're like, well, I mean, Jason Mewes, he's had a hard, rough time too.
Yeah.
But he's not a serial killer.
No, but no. I love him, by the way.
That we
know if he listens to your show, I love Jason Mewes. I really do, honestly. I'm not just trying to make points. I really do love him. But yeah, he was just hanging there all the time, always talking to people. But and my partner was there often alone. She was a woman. And again, he left. We haven't seen him. And I think it's a couple years later that we saw in the news that he had been arrested and that he was suspected of at least 25 murders all throughout Canada, mostly women. And he was suspected to be a serial rapist who was active in the 80s and 90s in Montreal, known as the plumber, because he was a plumber, basically. Mm-hmm. He was called in to do a plumbing job, would go in and would rape the person if she was alone. And he's considered one of the worst serial killers in Canada. His name is William Fife, by the way. Those who want to look it up, William Fife. So for a good two years, my partner was hanging out with him all the time, sometimes alone. And she's had...
Oh, your wife was hanging out with him alone?
Yeah, well, I'm not married, so I don't like to say my wife.
Oh, sorry.
We're not... No, it's okay. It's just, long story short, I just don't like to say that. We've been together for 23 years, and aside from you two, I don't know anybody who's got married and stayed married. So to me, saying my wife, I think sells short what we have. I think we have a strong relationship, but we're not married. We're... common law, I think you say in English, is that word?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. But I say my partner, and but yeah, she was hanging out with him for 2 years and all alone. And she's had nightmares for a long time about that because all his victims were women. So the question is, why not her? Because I'm sorry to say this, but she is good looking. My partner is very good looking.
I've seen her. Yeah, she's a looker.
Did you?
I mean,
when did you?
Yeah. When you sent us the picture of her wearing the earrings that Brandy made you?
Oh, yes. Yes. She loves those, by the way. She really does love those. She wears them
that's
at the hospital. She just struts them around.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome.
Yeah. When I was looking up his victims, most of his victims were like older than like 45. You know, they were like 50s, late 40s.
Yeah, there's one that was like 26 or something, and that was it.
Most of them were easy victims, you know. Women.
Yeah, they were alone, didn't have, you know, anyone in the house with them, lived by themselves.
Weren't physically able to defend themselves against him.
Right. So let me just give him his stats really quick. So William Patrick Fife born February 27th, 1955, in Toronto, Ontario. He's known as the killer handyman and the plumber, right?
Serial
rapist, he's a dick.
Well, it's not been proven. He never admitted to any of those rapes, but they fit with the time he spent in that area during that time.
He was like living in an area nearby, yeah. Right?
And the description that the victims made of him fit pretty much what he looked like back then. So it's suspected that he is the plumber, but he never admitted it.
It looks like he was raised by his aunt and moved from Western Canada to Montreal in 1958. That's really the only backstory. And then he started working as a handyman. He's just creep status, those eyes. Like when you're, oh gosh.
Yeah, there's apparently a book, but it's in French.
Anthony, you should have read it to us.
I will happily translate it for you if you want. But he looks sad still. He looks bored. He looks like, okay, you caught me. Who cares? That's the vibe I get from him, that he doesn't seem to live in the same plane of reality as we do. He doesn't seem to understand exactly what he did. On the other hand, he got away with it for almost, I think, 25 years, if I'm not mistaken, that his murders go back far as.
So, for known victims, it started in the 80s, like from 1981. Till 99, I believe.
I think that's when he was caught. 99, 2000, he was caught?
Yeah. Yeah, so it was about a 20-year span that he was sexually assaulting women, raping them, stabbing them, all in Canada. So he was like a terror, right? He was terrorizing Canada.
How do you do that under the nose of so many people for so many years?
So many people get away with it. Is that they're like...
Thank you. That was my next point. How many others don't we know about because it's so easy for them to...
Yeah, they have like dual personalities.
Probably, but he was suspected of up to 25 murders and they only managed to pin 5 on him, which means that the 20 others, maybe it's 5 other guys who did them.
Well, no, he
confessed to 4 more.
Yeah, he confessed to 4 more. Yeah, so they say he has between 9 to 25 victims. Because he did confess to other murders, and then they are trying to pin, you know, those rapes on him as well. But at least he was caught, unfortunately, in like 20 years later, 1999, and he got life, right? I think he got life.
He's still
in a psychiatric hospital.
Yes.
That concerns me. I feel like in a movie, they always break out of the psychiatric hospital. I don't think that there's enough security. It concerns me.
It's just that they put them under so much drug that after a while they become complacent. And there's so many of those people and there's so little place for them that if for 10, 20 years they're complacent, they're drugged out, then okay, there's no problem with you. Bye. You're no longer my problem. That is the risk, yes.
Oh, yeah. I don't like that.
My big problem, God, I shouldn't be saying this publicly, but I love you guys. My big problem is for children like mine, when they become adult, my son has a high anxiety problem that when he gets into an episode, he gets really, really violent. But he's 17 years old. He's 6'2", 185 pounds. He's a monster. He's incredibly strong. So right now he has to live in a special residence for young people. We're a little bit violent, but it's not his fault. He's nonverbal. He doesn't understand what he's doing. He doesn't want to be violent. He's not a rebel. He's not on drugs. He's not on anything. But when he turns 18, there's no service anywhere for someone like him except in psychiatric hospitals. So someone like my son is going to be around people like Bill Fife.
Mm-hmm.
That is my really big concern. People like Bill Fife
scary.
Should not be in a psychiatric hospital. These places should be to heal people. They should not be to lock up somebody who's really extremely profoundly dangerous. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
I understand what you mean because it's like, okay, you know, there's a murderer across the hall And then on this side, you know, it's nonverbal people who could be a danger to themselves or other people, but have not done anything to, you know, warrant certain treatment, if you will.
Exactly.
And they're not the same. They're definitely not the same.
Absolutely not. I mean, and my son is the sweetest kid you could ever meet. Everybody adores him. He's profoundly autistic. That's not his fault. And when something triggers him, he has no control. He literally has no control. But I sound like I'm trying to defend a murderer. He's not at all. He wouldn't hurt a fly, but he is a danger to himself. When he gets into an episode, he bashes his head on a wall, and he's had a number of concussions now, and he needs to be in a place that will be able to help him get back from that state of mind, from where he is. Which I can't do, unfortunately, on my own. I'm not able to do that. So for his own safety, we have to give him better services than what I can provide. Otherwise, my partner and I would both have had to quit our jobs and not take care of our daughter and just 24/7, just him. And unfortunately, after 17 years, we've reached a point where our own well-being is being threatened, not by him, but because it's, just too much stress, too much emotions, too much period. It was basically killing us as people and as a couple. So we had to make the heartbreaking decision of asking for help outside, for somebody else for the government, basically, to give him help that we can't afford. But again, once he turns 18, there's nothing except a psychiatric hospital. Mm-hmm. So it's really, really scary that he could end up with someone like Bill Fife.
Yeah.
Sorry, I got dark there for a second. Really, really sorry. How's your week? Oh, I spoke to this French Canadian who was a bummer.
So, he was apprehended. So he was arrested in 1999 and convicted on 5 counts of murder. He is currently serving a life sentence in a psychiatric hospital in Saskatchewan.
Yep.
Saskatchewan.
Yeah, say it from grown-ups.
Oh, Saskatchewan.
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 Nice. A lot of Americans are obsessed with Saskatchewan. They like the name, and they're obsessed with the place because of the name.
Interesting.
A lot of Americans tell me that. Sometimes it's the first question they ask me, have you ever been to Saskatchewan? No. There's nothing in Saskatchewan. There's literally nothing.
That's okay, thank weird. You. Because I was like, what's over there? Anything? Yeah. Anything worth anything? No.
Yeah. No. Honestly, it's flat and yeah. No, there's no oil. There's, I don't know, nice people apparently, but they're Canadians, so.
So there, that's the problem right there. No, I'm just kidding. Let's not just make this about Bill Fife. Let's go ahead and name his victims as well. So.
Thank you.
Anybody's listening, or you know, anybody lost this person as a family member. So there was Hazel Scatalun. She was 52 years old.
It's like Scatalun, not Scatalun.
What is it?
Scatalun.
Scatalun, but she's Canadian, so I think it's Scatalun.
Since when does O become O?
What? Okay.
I'm not touching that one.
Yeah, right. She was a victim, stabbed to death and assaulted March 21st, 1981. There was Monique
Godreau.
Okay, yeah. She was 46. She was found dead October 1999 in...
Saint-Agathe-des-Monts, yes.
Yes.
A really beautiful place. Seriously.
Ooh.
It's a beautiful place, Saint-Agathe.
So where are you in Quebec?
I'm in a place called Lachute. If you're a fan of Kevin Smith, he featured that town in the one with the Royal Russ. What's it called? Tusks. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes. He made a joke about it that there's a university in Lachute. No, there's about 10,000 people in Lachute. It's about an hour north of Montreal. There's nothing here. It's really, really a quiet place. It's just far enough to be at peace and just close enough to everything else that you're not in the middle of the woods. It's an area called the Laurentian Mountains. Really beautiful place. I'm about 2 hours away from a wildlife reserve that takes up about 2/3 of the entire province of Quebec. It's just up there north. And my son's going to be moved to Saint-Agathe that you mentioned. The hospital that he's going to be living in is there. So we're going to have to move there as well. It's going to be closer for us. So yeah, we're going to have to sell our nice little house that we have here. Which is a perfect time to do it too, because people are buying houses at crazy prices. I don't know if it's happening in California, but here in Canada, people are offering above asking price. The market is just insane right now, so it's the best time to sell. So during this pandemic, I have two autistic kids. I could not afford to lose my job, and I needed to work from home. Everything just fell on my lap like that. I work from home. I work at night and evening, so I can take care of my kids during the day. I think everything's just been going my way, so I'm touching wood every day.
You knock on that wood, and guess what? We're here. You've been wanting this to happen for so long. Come on, Anthony, your dreams are coming true.
Yes, I've been harassing you for 2 years now to be on your show. Thank you. But this is what I need. Exactly. We're all isolated. It's been a year of isolation, of being apart from each other, of being just in your basement, everybody working at home. And then you guys come along and invite me, and it's just, I needed that. I really did. So there you go. Luckiest man alive.
Yeah, I've been stalking you too. I'm like, come on, Anthony, let's do this. And you're like, no, I'm busy. I'm like, fine.
Yes,
okay.
I'm sorry. I do work at night. What can I say?
It's sorry. Okay, man. I get it. Like you said, family first.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yes.
Let's continue on with the victim's name. So,
sorry.
It's okay. Anna Yarnold. She was 59 years old. Found dead October 15th, 1999 in Sinnerville, Quebec. Teresa Shanahan. She was also 55. Found November 1999 in Laval, Quebec.
Laval. Yes, Laval.
Mary Glenn, 50 years old. Found December 15th, 1999 in...
Bédurfé. Yes.
That's what I said.
Yes. Yes, you're right.
Another victim, Suzanne Marie Bernier. She was 62. Found October 17th, 1979, and it looks like Cartierville, Montreal.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yep.
Ooh, I said it. And Nicole Raymond, she was 26. She was stabbed and sexually assaulted November 14th, 1979, in Pointe Claire, Montreal.
Pointe Claire, yep.
Excuse me.
Yep.
Louise Poupault LeBlanc.
Sorry. Sorry, I love listening to someone say it's Poupard. Yes.
She was assaulted and killed, unfortunately, September 26, 1987 in St. Adelaide.
Yes.
So the same city, another woman, Luanne LaPlante. Yeah. Murdered, assaulted, sexually assaulted, June 9th, 1989, in the same...
It's Saint-Adèle, Laurentine.
How did you... So you saw, like, in the newspaper that this guy was, like, convicted, or how did you guys figure out
it was everywhere on the news. It was really big because we live in the area he was caught, in the area he was mostly active, in the Laurentians. So it was, for like a month, it was everywhere on the news every day. because nobody understood how this guy got away with it for so long under everybody's nose. So we learned it. I mean, you just turned around and he was on TV. He was on the internet. He was on newspapers. It's just wall to wall coverage of Bill Fife, which again was a problem for my partner because she spent 2 years hanging out with him. She had a hard time. She had a hard time. I got to tell you, we had to seek professional help to help her through it.
Oh my gosh, wow. She had PTSD.
Yeah, well, yeah, pretty much it, indeed.
That's unfortunate. I mean, I'm glad that she, you know, made it through the way she made it through, and she wasn't on the other side of a situation. But maybe it's that thing, like survivor's remorse. Is that what that is? Maybe like she's like, why them, not me, or it could have been me.
Mostly, how did I get away? How did I not end up like them? What's the arbitrary decision that he made to not do that to me?
I think it was because he never went to her house.
Probably. Probably.
She never needed a handyman, I guess, huh?
No, she's never lived alone. She lived with her family, and then she had a roommate for a long time. And when I met her, her roommate had just moved out. I mean, just like 2 weeks before I met her, her roommate had just moved out, and I moved in with her within weeks of having met her. We clicked so hard, her and I, that we moved in with her really quickly. When you know,
is
right?
Is that what you called it? Click so hard, huh?
Hey. What can I say? It happened. That's another story for another day.
We click so hard. I love it, Anthony. I love it. So this guy, I'm glad we didn't really like get into the nitty gritty with him, because I think I would have nightmares too, because I'm not really into all the murder stuff. Even though we are, you know, technically a true crime podcast. But it's just good to know. I mean, it's not good to know, but it is good to know.
It doesn't just happen in your side of the border. Yeah.
It happens everywhere. When you like see these stories on TV or wherever, they happen all over the place. There's crazy people or murderers or serial killers or whatever you want to call them. They're everywhere. And we still just need to be careful when you're inviting people into your home or anything. Like, if I invite a handyman to my house, I think I'm going to just have my knife hanging around. Like, what's up, Ted? What you need, bro? You can stay out there. It's cool. No, you don't need to come in. Wait a minute. I'm not turning my back on you, buddy. Like, what's up?
I'm terrified that right now it's going to get worse. I don't know about you guys where you live, but I know that here there's been a sharp rise in the domestic violence since the pandemic started.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mental health is going to be the next big problem that we're going to face. After this whole thing is over, it's going to be a question of everybody. Everybody is going to be going through PTSD. The whole planet is going to be going through it.
Yeah. And I feel like in this day and age, we're normalizing mental health a little better. And we're not, you know, stigmatizing it. It's just like, hey, girl, you know, it's okay to not be okay. And it's even better to seek out help or to talk to somebody, which is important, because you can't really deal alone. And it's okay to ask for help or to talk to somebody.
It's okay for others. It's not taboo. So if you see someone who has mental health, it's not taboo to you. But for somebody who goes through it, it's still very hard to get out of your shell and to face people and say, I have a mental health problem. It's still really, really hard to come out and say it. And again, that's what terrifies me, that these sort of things that we saw with William Fife are just going to get worse in the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years. Sorry. I bummed you out again. Sorry.
Pray. Anthony, why are you trying to burst my bubble? It's bulb after midnight and I'm scared now. Darn it.
I started my podcast after myself going through PTSD. So I know that everybody and their cat have a podcast, but to me, I cannot recommend this enough. If you don't have anybody to talk to, just pop open a mic and talk to everybody. That's what helped me. And I met you guys and I met wonderful people through podcasting, but just the fact of being able to talk about everything that goes on from my life, even the most trivial things, it helped me for the last 3 years. It helped me get over this thing. And again, I'm incredibly lucky because this pandemic arrived at a time when I was finally better and I was equipped to deal with everything that we've been dealing with the anxiety of it all. Does that make sense? Or am I?
It makes sense. Talking about my ass. No, it totally makes sense. I honestly think that having the podcast helped me personally get through the pandemic and not lose my shit. Because it's like, this is the one thing that's consistent that we've continued to do. And, you know, we'll talk on the mic and we'll meet people and people will slide in the DM or emails or conversations or friendships or whatever. I think a podcast is very therapeutic to a certain extent. I don't think that we would be here obviously talking with you or even have, you know, known you, Anthony, without the podcast. And like, you know, I'm hanging out in the closet. You're in the basement somewhere. Yes.
Are you really in the closet?
Yeah. Hang on. I'll turn my camera on. I'm in the closet.
I'm sorry. I feel bad now. I made you talk for your closet
I'm
for 90 minutes.
I'm hanging out in my closet.
Okay. Okay, because of the little family, you don't want to bother them.
Oh yeah, I have to hide. I have okay. to. So I'm in my closet. I'm in my master bedroom, bathroom. I have that door locked, and then I'm in the closet because the acoustics are amazing in here.
But they are.
Yeah.
Not kidding. Yes, they are. Great.
But I think it's been therapeutic. I mean, mental health is okay. It is a big step to ask for help and to seek it out and to know that you should do that. But it's 2021 and it's a new day and it's okay to be not okay and get some help about it too. You know what I mean?
Well said. Thank you. And we are at the edge of the internet. You can do it remotely. You don't have to seek out and go there and wait. And sometimes a lot of people find it embarrassing or hard or just you don't want to go out of the house and go in front of that person sitting on the couch and do it. It's really not easy. And this day and age, you can do it remotely. You don't even have to look at them. You just talk to them remotely if you want. So I think everybody should take advantage of that.
I agree with Anthony.
Hoping that not too many people will take advantage of it the other way. Because you're going to have a lot of people posing as therapists because you can do it online. You don't need to have an office. You don't need to have, you know, the credentials. Just call me. I'm a therapist. I do it remotely. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, like, how can they fraud them? It's like, okay, give me your insurance information. And if they're fake, they're not going to be able to bill the insurance. So what would they want to, like, get their grift on just to be a creep and listen to people's problems and give them wrong advice?
Who knows? Maybe.
Always check your credentials. So always do your research. Always Google.
Yeah.
Read the reviews. Call the phone number. Oh, let me tell you about some shit. So my girlfriend calls me this morning. She was like, oh, have you heard of ClassPass? I was like, yes, I've heard of ClassPass. She's like, oh my gosh, I was supposed to have a facial this morning. I booked the appointment. They billed me. She shows up to the place and it was just like some random dude. Like, she was like, I'm not going in there. And then she decided to go in there just to like look around. And she walks in ready for a facial. And the guy just hands her like a clipboard and it had like blueprints and shit on it. And like, he wasn't paying attention to her. And she's
blueprints.
Like, hey. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, just have a look around. She's like, no, I'm here for a facial. He was like, that place shut down, honey. Like, I'm trying to rent this bitch out. She's like, the fuck? So ClassPass took her money, like sent her to a place that was no longer in business. It's like, hello, fucking check these places out. Make sure you have people on your directory and that you're offering services for that are still fucking open. Like, I was like, if you were by yourself, like if something could have happened, if it would have been a bad situation or you would have got assaulted or anything, I would sue the shit out of ClassPass for not making sure that they're selling services to companies that are in business. Like, what the fuck?
Well, if you have to pay before the service, that's a big red flag right there.
Well, that's their thing. It's called, so you sign up for ClassPass, right? And instead of paying like $50 or however much the service is, you pay like a percentage, like $15 or $20, so like 10 or 20% because you've signed up to this service and you paid. It's weird. It's weird.
Okay.
But
anyway, I wouldn't use it.
Fucked up.
I'm with Brandy. I wouldn't do that. No,
that doesn't sound like anything I'm interested in using at all.
You.
Well, hopefully she's not going to be using that anymore either because they sent her on a wild goose chase. And she was like, I paid for 90 minutes of parking. I was like, well, just Google and see if there's any other places open. And they weren't. And so she just got coffee and went home to her children. And I was like, I'm sorry, girl. That's a bummer.
That sucks.
Yeah.
It really does.
What's official? I'm a guy. I don't know what it is.
You're so cute. So facial, so it's like getting your face just like, it's like a really deep like exfoliation and wash and
a
like
cleansing.
Purging of like okay. impurities of your skin. And, you know, you get your eyes and the puffiness goes down and your face just, they just take care of your face and they do all the things to your face that you have yet to do to it.
Okay.
To just make it shine bright like a diamond and just look fabulous.
Okay.
That's the facial.
All right. I mean,
is
facial
your eye
for
wandering
me.
Off on me? Don't you do that to me?
No. It's just that for me, facial is, I grow my beard for the whole winter for like 7 months out of the year. And when I shave it, my face is pristine because it's been protected for like 7 months. So when I shave, I have a baby face. It's really smooth, really nice.
You look like you have a baby face right now.
Thank you.
Is that what's going on?
I just shaved 3 weeks ago that I shaved my beard after about that 7 months. So, yes, that's
your
what's
winter
going.
Beard, huh?
Yes, exactly. It is practical. It is pretty cold up here. I live in the mountains, so it gets really cold. When you have to shovel outside in a blizzard, it's nice to have, you know, the natural mask.
Have a face sweater.
Yes, thank you. Well put. I could not have said it better. I'm going to steal that, by the way. Face sweater.
Face
nice.
Sweater.
Yes.
All right. Okay. This has been a lot of fun, guys. So let's go with thumbs up for the week. So, Brandy, do you have a thumbs up for the week?
Thumbs up for the week. My thumbs up is... I have been watching a show called The Nevers. It's on HBO.
Ooh,
yes, Joss Whedon created that. Yes.
It is amazing. I love that show. Joss Whedon, kind of a douche, but I love the show.
He stepped off. He created the show, and then he stepped out. So he's not doing a second season.
But yes, it's amazing so far. The Touched are cool people, and I'm like, some bullshit's probably going to happen, but I'm there for it. So I'm here for it. I like it. It's a good one. I recommend it for people who enjoy things that are a little bit different.
I love the main character. She was the sister on Outlander. She was Jamie's sister. And when I watched Outlander, I said, this woman has to do something bigger. She's so good. And she's doing the Nevers.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Look at you, Anthony, putting it out there for folks. Look at your magic.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, so The Nevers, recommend it. Nice. Anthony, do you have a thumbs up for the week?
I'm not original, but I have a show too. I discovered a show called The Barbarian and the Troll. It's a puppet show. It's not for kids, but it's not necessarily for adults too.
It's a puppet show.
It's freaking
like
hilarious.
Muppets?
No,
or
it's
like hand puppets.
It's like the Muppets, yes, but it's not the Muppets. They look right. like, but it's about this woman, barbarian warrior, who loses her status as a princess warrior, and she goes on a quest with a troll. I don't really know why they go on a quest, but it's really hilarious. You have to watch it. It's just.
When does it come on?
It's, you know what? I'm going to tell you right now. I watch it here on YTV in Canada, but I don't know in the US where it plays on. I'm going to tell you right now. Barbarian and the Troll. It's on Nickelodeon. It's on, Friday nights at 7:30 PM on Nickelodeon.
Yeah. It's on Hulu.
It's on Hulu. There you go. And okay. The main character of Brendar the Barbarian is voiced by Spencer Grammer, who does Summer on Rick and Morty.
Interesting.
Yes, she's hilarious. Okay. You have to watch that. It's really good. I discovered that this week, and I've been watching all 7 episodes that are out so far, and it's good.
So is it a new series then?
Yes, it just started a few weeks ago.
Okay.
Yeah. I will give a thumbs up, if you don't mind, if I can give a second one. I don't want to go political, but people will get vaccinated. This is how we're going to get through this. So just, I really commend Canada here. There's been a big effort to get everybody vaccinated. Like I said earlier, they're prioritizing giving the first dose to as many people as possible. Rather than giving 2 doses, they're giving 1 dose to as many people as possible so that we can get through this. And once the majority of people have gotten the first dose, then we'll go to the second dose. And I'm giving a big thumbs up to that program, to that. This is how we're going to get through it. So a thumbs up to Canadian government for wrapping this up.
Whoop, whoop. Good on you, Canada.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I totally agree. It is very 2021 to get your vaccine in and this get vaccinated against COVID, yo, so we could travel, so we could see each other again, so we can eradicate this nonsense. I am fully vaccinated because apparently that's a thing. Fully vaccinated. I'm 2 weeks post my second shot. So, yeah.
I think it's irresponsible not to do it, not to get vaccinated. It's irresponsible because smaller countries, poorer countries are feeling the worst of it right now because of us.
Yeah.
Because of egotistic people who said, no, I'm going to travel. I'm not going to wear a mask. They go to these countries anyway. They spread this thing over there. And these people, they cannot afford to get vaccinated. These countries cannot afford to buy in bulk the vaccines that we in Canada and you in the US have had. And they can't afford the kind of health services that we have here. So they're feeling the worst of it without a way out because of us. So the least we can do is get freaking vaccinated and stop spreading this thing everywhere.
Keep your cooties to yourself.
I agree. Keep your cooties to yourself.
Exactly.
My thumbs up for the week also is that I have turned my backyard into like the best habitat. Like, I have ducks that come into my backyard and come and swim in my pond, and they ate up all my tadpoles. I don't know if I mentioned this on the podcast, but I had a tadpole situation, and there was, like, thousands of tadpoles in my pond, and it was disgusting. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to try and let it be. Some ducks came in, and they were like, oh, shit, Chef Boyardee came in and, like, ate all of the tadpoles. They come back, and they eat, like, the snails, and they eat algae. And it's like a part of their routine now. It's like a male and a female. And I just feel like so happy that I have created this this ecosystem, and they come and they visit me. They love my house.
Sunnyland. Good.
Sunnyland, yes. No, dude, like that's it. I honestly, like I feel lucky to be talking to you two folks. And to be where I am, to be comfortable, to have a family, and to be vaccinated. And just don't take that shit for granted. You know, you turn your nose up at this, that, and the other. Just get your vaccination and quit your crying. And let's move forward and get past this. Period.
Yeah.
Well said. I have nothing to add. It's really well said.
Thanks, guys. Thank you for being here. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for joining us. Connect with us on social. You can follow us on Twitter at Book of Lies Pod. You can meet Anthony. He has 2 Twitter handles. Which one do you want to share?
Anto Night Shift. Yes. That's
at
the one
Twitter,
I use.
Or you can meet us on Instagram, yes, or Facebook at Book of Lies Podcast.
Podcast after midnight at wordpress.com.
Mm-hmm.
That's
or
a mouthful.
You can visit us at. It is a mouthful, actually.
I'm too cheap to pay for a real website, so I'm just going to go with a WordPress. And yeah, want to make money like you guys, want a big star like you two, then maybe I'll
big
pay for
star. Uh-huh.
Yes, of course. How many listeners do you have? 1 episode. How many listeners?
It depends. 6. So I mean, on average, I think we've definitely, like, slowed down a bit. At first, like, when we release a new episode, we get, like, 200 listens, like, the first week. And, I mean, as they progress and stay out there, of course, people find them and listen to them. So, I don't know. So, I would say, I don't know how to answer that question.
You're a big star. There you go. I get between 30 and 60. I get between 30 and 60 listens an episode, usually within a 3 or 4 month period. So, okay. So you two are definitely just, you know, you're big stars next to me. I really am humbled and grateful.
Upper echelon on the podcast.
Yes. Platform. And you deserve it too. You do bring it. When you guys do a show, you bring it.
Well, we are going to be bringing it this Friday on Twitch, May 21st.
Okay? Yes, I saw that. That is awesome. Eastern. Please plug it. Plug it. Go.
2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Live stream for The Cure. It is here. It is happening. I've been hyping it up for weeks. And we want you to join us on Twitch. It is absolutely free. But we are raising money for cancer. So give them money and tell them we sent you. And let's, you know, get this cancer business out of the way as well, because cancer fucking sucks, right?
My mother just got a tumor removed from her breast. She's going through chemo right now. So I am so appreciative that you two are doing this. Honestly, I'm not kidding. I am grateful that you're doing this, and I am going to support you when you do your live stream. For sure, I'm going to plug you guys every day, all day long.
Oh, I love you so much, Anthony. You're the best.
No, you are. Thank you.
Well, guys, this is the end, and thank you for being here. And I am Sunny Hepburn.
And I'm Brandy Fleeks.
Anthony Lagloa.
And this was?
Book.
Book.
Book of Lies.
Of Lies.
Sorry,
the
Brandy.
Podcast.
The podcast.
Yes.
It's Bolt, bitches.